Then he said, "Are you bleeding?" I said, "Bleed." "I ain't got time to bleed." "All right, let's pop the sumbitch back in."
You son of a bitch.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of No Time to Bleed, our monthly special. This is on the 1993 action comedy fantasy film Last Action Hero, starring Arnold Braunschweiger. basically making fun of action movies in a very, you know, meta way. This was directed and produced by famous action director John McTiernan. Micah, this was your suggestion, so I'll let you take it from here.
Yeah, I absolutely love Last Action Hero. This might be the first meta movie that I've ever remembered seeing.
Yeah, that's probably true for me too.
This is this is at the height of Arnold's like popularity, to the point, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, 1993. Yeah, that's. That's pretty solid in his wheelhouse.
But Arnold actually considered this his first real failure.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. He also considered it the beginning of the end of his film career.
God damn.
Yeah, this movie wasn't received very well.
It was not received well at all. And I don't know why. I really dug this movie.
It beat its budget. I mean, its budget was $85 million. It made $137.3 million.
People didn't like it, though. I don't know why people didn't like it. Like, I think a lot of people just can't take a fucking joke.
Is it that people can't take a joke, or is it... I mean, that I think is true as well, but they also... It's slightly making fun of the audience, too.
Yeah. But you know what? It's making fun of everything. It's making fun of the ridiculousness of these movies. Right. It's making fun of Hollywood. It's making fun of the stupid people like me that love these stupid movies.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's making fun of everybody. Like, and if you can't take a joke, then stop going to the movies, man. And look, here's the thing. Like, Arnold gave some really, like, strong, dramatic performances in this movie.
Yeah, there were moments.
Yeah, like a couple of moments where he's like, "Well, you really feel bad about this guy, man." Yeah. For this guy. And I'm like, "Yo, this movie's really good, man."
Yeah. I think this movie is utterly ridiculous in every way that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Like, people are fucking lame.
Is this his best acting performance?
No.
What's he been better in?
Right.
Predator?
Maybe as the Terminator in the first Terminator, maybe, because all he had to, yeah, exactly.
That's hence why I chose Predator, guys. I mean, Maggie's supposed to be good. I haven't seen that yet, but that where he's actually like giving an actual performance.
Well, he's emoting like he does in this movie.
Yes, but the entire time.
I just don't.
I don't know.
I don't know, man.
So what is your ridiculous out of five score?
This is 18 flaming bundles of dynamite thrown from car to car out of five. Like, this is amazing. Like, I love this movie, man.
It's not a bad score. Terrence, your thoughts?
Yeah, I've seen this movie countless times. I was watching it this morning, and I was quoting some of the fucking sections of the movie. I've seen it a lot. And I remember when it came out, and then I remember a little bit later that it wasn't received very well. People just didn't like the movie. I remember like news reports like, "This movie's terrible." Like, no, it's not. Like, I was 13 when it came out.
But, right.
So, I mean, I'm like fucking kid. But in hindsight, this movie's good. I don't give a fuck what anybody says.
No.
It's enjoyable. I enjoy it. I give it five knife grenades, because that was a thing in this movie.
Yes.
Grenade with hidden blades in it. Out of five. This is a five out of five for me. I don't fucking care. This movie's awesome.
All right. For me, I love this movie. I think it's hilarious. I like that it's incredibly meta. Like we said earlier, it does make fun of It makes fun of itself. It makes fun of the genre. It makes fun of Arnold Schwarzenegger. It makes fun of other action stars. They're even in the movie at some point. And all around, it's just really solid, and it does make fun of its own audience, which is pretty great, too. I would give it five out of five inside of a five out of five inside of a five out of five, wrapped in an enigma, stuffed into a box of mysteries.
Five Russian nesting dolls.
Out of five, there we go. So, yeah, I love this movie. I think it's hilarious. And there's a lot... Watching it years later, there's a lot of things I didn't quite get that now looking back, like even now, you're like, oh, shit, I get that. All right, yeah. That's kind of funny. But yeah, there's a lot. Arnold Schwarzenegger must have called, or John McTiernan called in a lot of favors to a lot of people to get them to be in this movie.
Yeah. Die Hard, hello.
Yeah.
That motherfucker's like the godfather of fucking action movies.
He really is. All right, Micah, take it away.
So the movie opens up with some cops at the scene of a hostage situation in what looks like an obvious Die Hard parody, like from the beginning. So you know what kind of movie this is. So complete with angry black cop whose name is Lieutenant Decker. So there's a bad guy on the roof of this building, Lincoln Elementary School. Not Chester A. Arthur Middle School.
Yes, thank you. The 21st president.
So bad guys kill a cop that's on a roof, and he throws a cop off the building. And all of a sudden, our hero Jack Slater comes in, and he comes in walking on top of cop cars, because that's what you do, right? And this why the fuck not?
Yeah.
And this is like
snakeskin boots on.
With snakeskin boots and a leather jacket and a belt with a big ass buckle on it. Because smoking a cigar. Like, can you get any more stereotypical action hero?
By the way, I'm kind of upset that they didn't go even further meta by releasing a Jack Slater movie. Like, you know, just like an actual Jack Slater movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Just call it Jack Slater 4.
Yeah, just skip the first three. Like, fuck it.
What the fuck? Wait, what happened?
It's like Leonard Part 6.
So
how many quaaludes you got to give a chick? Never mind. Go ahead.
Lieutenant Decker tells Jack not to go in or have his badge, and Jack, like a badass, just throws his badge at his lieutenant and continues on. All of a sudden, Mayor Tina Turner comes in and starts pleading with Jack to not go up there. And she brings in the lieutenant governor to speak with him. Jack then backhands the lieutenant governor a la Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Bam.
And tells him to call him when the governor gets there.
Again, this is ridiculous. Shit is insane.
Jack makes his way to the roof where all the hostages are kept.
He also kicked a cop in the balls.
You missed the line that I literally burst into tears.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know why I started laughing so hard. You want to be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres. And he kicked him in the nuts. I laughed so fucking hard because I completely forgot that line. I'm like, that was completely unnecessary. But it was like, I literally had to pause the movie. I was laughing so fucking, I don't know.
Here's a couple of acres. Wow.
I was like, what the fuck? That makes no sense. I mean, it makes sense. But it was so unnecessary. It was too.
And then he crushes the walkie-talkie, like, for no reason. He's just like, he couldn't just throw it. He's like, he had to crush it in his bare hands.
This movie's great.
Oh, shit. Jack then, Jack goes up to the roof where the bad guy named the Ripper.
Francis Dollarhide from Manhunter.
There you go. Has
he's an ugly dude.
Yes, yeah, he is.
He really is. Like,
he's got makeup on in this movie, but he's still not the most attractive makeup? Gentleman. Yeah, it was.
Oh.
Are
you sure?
I am positive.
Yeah, they show him later and you're like, so what? Well, what's happening to your face? Did you get into a fire?
Jack makes his way to the roof where the hostages are kept. The Ripper has Jack's son, Andy. Jack lowers his weapons, which consist of five guns and two knives. Jack then pulls out a grenade and throws it at the Ripper's feet, and then the Ripper's like, "Come on, like, what are you doing? You're gonna
and
make
that's
me
his
think-
son, right?
Yeah, that's his son Andy. And
I'm real flattered, Jack. No, I don't. Shut up.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm not Jack. An idiot.
You're like, it's a live grenade. I'm like, I'm sure it is.
Let me just use it on a kid.
So the Ripper tells Andy to pick it up, and Andy picks up the grenade and hits a button, and a knife comes out of it. Because, like you said, Terrence, those things exist in this movie.
I kind of want one.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
like, no. It's not a grenade. It's a knife. Oh, it's not as dangerous.
It's legal.
So Andy stabs the Ripper with the knife grenade. And Jack runs.
It's
and
one of the dumbest statements that's ever come out of your mouth.
Jack dives for the gun and shoots the Ripper. All of a sudden, everything goes out of focus and gets all fuzzy. It turns out that this was actually a movie that one of our main characters, Danny, is watching. That movie was called Jack Slater 3. Because, yeah.
I'm telling you, I want this as a series of legit movies.
Hell, why not?
Yeah,
fucking Jack Reacher. Just fuck Jack Reacher and just call it Jack Slater.
Jack Slater. Jack Reacher 2, Jack Slater.
Was this movie in 3D when it came out first?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. It looked like it would have been because of that axe.
Yeah, the axe part. And I'm like, yeah. Okay.
That axe throwing scene is bonkers. Like, that is, one, that is not how gravity works. He just kind of slides past it. I'm like, it would have taken your face off.
Yeah.
Also, that throw was amazing. Also, he jumped in the way of the axe.
He jumped
to pass
towards
it
to turn around and duck it. Like
you could have gone the other way.
No, or you could have just stayed where you were.
No, he had to go die for his gun.
Oh, that's correct.
I don't know exactly why he did a twist in the air. He could have just went straight, but he wanted to make it look cool.
Also, that axe was perfectly well balanced.
Yeah. It was just like...
Well, it looked custom made.
I guess.
It certainly was. It comes in parts because he puts it together later.
What
on.
Did the Vision say about Thor's hand? It's terribly well balanced.
Terribly.
He threw the shit like a fucking boomerang, as if the metal from the axe was not heavier than the wood that the axe was on.
No, exactly. That's how they roll in Jack Slater 4, 3. Excuse me.
So we meet our main character, Danny. Who is a big movie buff, movie fan at the ripe old age of, what, 13?
Yeah, something like that.
And
has this kid done anything else?
I don't think so. He was an okay actor.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
He wasn't bad, given the goofiness of this movie. But I believed him when, you know, as like a big movie buff. So he turned in a pretty okay performance. Danny goes up to the projectionist, Nick, and tells him to fix it. The projectionist... asks Danny if he wants to see a free screening of the upcoming Jack Slater 4, and Danny agrees. Danny then heads to school, because this is what Danny does.
Danny's a fucking little loser.
As a youth in New York City in the 90s, he stays up all night in rundown movie theaters and then goes to school in the morning.
Now,
I think it was like, in the morning when he was in the movie theater, because the dude was
it's
like,
early.
Like 4 hours late for school or some shit like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but here's the thing. This is only 1993. They make New York City look like a hellscape. Like, it looks so bad when he leaves. I'm like, dude, stay in the movies. God damn.
By 93, New York didn't look that fucking bad.
Yeah, like it looked like 1983.
Yeah, that was 80s New York right there. I'm like, okay. Is this New York or Detroit? I don't know which.
This is like some fucking Skid Row shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm expecting Rick Moranis to feed a man-eating plant
yeah.
the way this fucking New York is like.
Awful.
But Danny heads to school, and at school, the teacher shows her students Laurence Olivier's Hamlet. And then Danny daydreams of Arnold Schwarzenegger as Hamlet. Which is one of the funniest scenes in the movie. I thought they were going to do this a couple different times when I first saw this movie.
Oh, when he was daydreaming?
Yeah.
That would have been pretty neat.
Different old school
yeah.
action
yeah.
stories.
To be or not to be. not to be. He just blows up the castle. That's so fucking great. I would love an Arnold Schwarzenegger Hamlet movie.
You could put Arnold Schwarzenegger in anything, and I'll probably see it.
Yeah. He is one of those actors where everyone knows that he's not a good actor, but it doesn't matter.
He's got that thing. He's got that chutzpah, that charisma, the kavorka, the something.
The kavorka. Nice. That's a nice throwback. Very good.
So Danny goes home and his mom yells at him about cutting class. Here we get some awkward exposition that Danny's dad died a while ago and, you know, mom...
From eating too much movie popcorn.
And mom wasn't trying to... I didn't ask for this. At first I thought, you know, I didn't ask for you.
Yeah,
you just kind of happened.
Like, thanks a lot,
bitch.
It's like, I didn't ask to be a widow before 40. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, that was really awkward.
Like, thanks for taking this very fun-loving to be or not to be scene and making it really serious.
Here's another really serious, like, disturbingly serious scene. So Danny's mom goes, because I guess she works the night shift. And she tells Danny to stay put. Danny,
well, the way she's dressed, I would assume it's the night shift at like a Popeye's Chicken with that like little fucking tie she wears. I'd like to think it's the
she's
night
a waitress at a diner.
Yeah,
I always thought she was. Yeah,
that's... yeah. They used to wear like the fucking like their uniform used to have that little.
I don't think I've ever stepped foot in the Popeye's.
Really? Yeah. Just the drive-thru?
The drive-thru.
I was going to say, you black as shit. How the fuck have you never been in a Popeye's? But the drive-thru,
I've really
I'll
not that. Had Popeye's that much either. Maybe 10 times, if that. I don't eat a lot of chicken.
I don't believe that for one second.
Michael was just about to give you a benefit of the doubt. He's like, well, I don't eat a lot. Like,
I'm not saying.
I wish there could have been video for that because you stopped mid sentence and just like gave you a fucking dirty ass look. Like,
I was about to give you the benefit of the doubt. And you're like, all right, you don't eat Popeye's chicken. It's fast food. You know, I get it. You eat homemade chicken. You know, something that family members.
There was actually a point where I didn't eat chicken for like 2 years. I'm dead ass serious.
Were you having a crisis of race? Were you?
No, it was just that we had it. My mother would cook it so fucking much. And I'm like, I'm tired of chicken, and I literally just wouldn't eat it.
God.
About 2 years that I didn't eat chicken.
This is the worst 2 years of your life. Now, are you making up for lost time? Don't answer that. The answer is yes. Don't lie to the audience.
When was the last time I had chicken? I don't know.
Oh, my God. All right. Moving on. Speaking of something else that's traumatic, Danny goes to leave.
Speaking of fiction,
Danny goes to leave the house to see the midnight screening of Jack Slater 4. When all of a sudden, he's mugged by this fucking
rapist,
crackhead looking rapist dude. And he comes in, and the rapist dude handcuffs him, and the rapist dude is like, what the fuck, man? Like, you barely have a TV. Like, what am I going to sell to smoke my crack with?
I thought this was like a fucking daydream when I was like, what?
Yeah, like...
Really?
Like, this is really bizarre. Like, this is super dark for this movie. I mean, I get, you know, you're supposed to show the real world as, like, not the same thing as this fantastical world. But I think you could just show the real world as it is with all the fantastical elements that are in this movie.
Yeah, what an idea.
Kicked his fucking door in. I'm like, that's not how things work.
Right.
But it doesn't work like that. Sorry.
So the robber tells Danny to handcuff himself. And then the robber throws the handcuff key in the toilet and says, all right, you can let yourself free if you can go in the toilet and get this handcuff key. So Danny does. And you see him whip the handcuff key. At the police station. Cop at the police station tells Danny that his mom said go straight home because apparently when Danny's mom finds out that her house has been burglarized and her son has been a part of it, she decides to stay at work.
That shit was fucking hilarious.
Like, I'm not going. Working.
We got bills to pay. Fuck you. Walk it off, bitch.
That's how chicken to sling.
Yeah, that's how 1983 New York was, apparently, in 1993.
So Danny doesn't go home. He really wants to see this movie. Excuse me. And
very terrible child.
And he goes to the movie theater, and Nick gives Danny a golden ticket, telling him, you know, all this story about how this ticket was given to him by Houdini or some such nonsense that the ticket is magic.
This guy looks like a drunk.
This guy looks like a rapist. Like, I was very afraid for Danny. Because he...
Come on, after hours.
Yeah.
I'll give you the first shot of the movie.
he looks like Mickey Rooney, if Mickey Rooney was a rapist.
So Mickey Rooney, then.
God damn.
Isn't he dead? Absolutely. He's not going to hear this.
I think so.
That's fine. Mickey Rooney, you're a rapist. It's fine.
I think Mickey Rooney's dead. So the he takes the ticket, rips the ticket in half. Nick puts one half into the little ticket box and tells Danny to keep the other half. And then Jack Slater 4 begins. So Jack Slater 4 begins with Vivaldi, an Italian crime boss stereotype, interrogating Jack's favorite second cousin, Frank.
So fucking ridiculous.
This is Frank, played by Art Carney, I think is his name, which was his last film appearance. We see and we meet Mr. Benedict, played by Tywin Lannister.
AKA my sweet brother Numsi for fucking the Golden Child. I always like this guy. He is always a great villain.
Yeah, yeah. He's a pretty awesome villain.
Charles Dance.
Yeah. I never knew his real name until I did research for this movie.
Brother Numsi. Like, that's who he was right. to me.
When I saw him in Game of Thrones, he was the assassin from Last Action Hero, was his name.
Yeah. He's good. Like,
yeah.
He's always just a fucking badass. He has he never says too much. He doesn't need to talk a lot.
Yeah.
And he just looks cool. Like, he just looks like a cool ass dude.
Yeah. Not many white people can wear all white from head to toe and have me take them seriously.
No, they just look like the Colonel from the fucking KFC commercial. 11 herbs and spices. Like, all right, man. You just look like an old Southern racist.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why KFC decided to bring that marketing campaign back.
Who is that? Who's playing
it's,
him?
It's Daryl Hammond.
It is him? What the fuck?
It's Daryl Hammond from SNL.
I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't get it either.
Like, it just makes me think of Plantations, guys. That's not really...
Right.
Look, you're not really helping your main demographic. This guy over here.
Fuck you.
You're not really helping him out.
Jack Slater arrives at his favorite second cousin Frank's house to see two cops there. Frank tells the two cops are like, the two cops got some sort of call that some drug deal was going down, and Frank is like, what the fuck? Like, get the fuck out of here. The only drugs you'll find in there is aspirin, and you're going to need them if you knock on that door. So Jack goes in, and he sees Frank tied up, and Frank tells Jack that the two major mob syndicates are joining forces, and then Frank dies.
He's like, I'm out of here.
Let me tell you this information. And just fucking passes out and dies.
Frank was actually rigged with explosives. So Jack narrowly escapes.
No, he didn't. Like, he did, but...
Well, he did. No, he didn't.
But he didn't. Because he, along with the two other cops, left at the same damn time, and the two other cops died, and then the black one said, 2 days to retirement. And then you hear the lethal weapon chime.
Was it?
Was
it? So good. Yes, it was.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't notice that.
2 days to retirement.
The fucking saxophone plays in the back. So good, man.
God damn it, man.
Yeah, I love the explosion blows up a cop car that's further away from them, further away from the house than they are. And I like how they cut back to Danny's like, he'll be fine. It's just a flesh wound. No big deal. Two cops dead.
So a hit squad in a Sanford and Son pickup truck.
and it's a fucking ragtag team, too. Like, the most multi-ethnic crew of bad guys.
Right. It's like they just did a casting call for multi-ethnic stuntmen.
Also, they have that one Asian guy who's always a bad guy.
He was in Die Hard.
Yes. Right? Yeah, he was. He's probably in all of the Die Hard movies as a henchman.
So he was killed in the first one.
We get a ridiculous chase scene. And by ridiculous, I mean this Fred Sanford and Son jalopy ass red truck is chasing with five multi-ethnic dudes, all with handlebar mustaches and are balding.
It's a classic henchman look.
Are throwing sticks of dynamite from an Acme crate.
Yeah. And they have the long, fuse.
Wow, and they're throwing them at our hero Jack Slater, who is in a convertible and is shooting these things with a 50 caliber hand cannon out the air. And they're like, it's so ridiculous.
At one point, he's shooting behind him. He's not even looking. He's not even looking behind him.
So one of the bundles of dynamite that he shoots with bullets falls through the movie screen because we see a scene of Danny's ticket start to glow, and then the dynamite pack falls through the screen, and Danny's like, what? And then he looks at it, and then he's like, oh shit, that's real. And he starts running towards the screen. The explosion happens, and all of a sudden, Danny wakes up in the back of Jack's convertible mid-chase scene.
And one of the greatest fucking lines from Danny is, oh my God, you're driving without any hands. How is that possible? And he's like, what did he say? Like, it'll happen. Like,
it takes a lot of practice, and you never, ever do it in heavy traffic.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he just does this shit.
Yeah. He shoots a guy off the Sanford and Son truck. That guy goes flying with
about
dynamite.
45 feet in the air.
Yeah, with dynamite into an ice cream truck. It explodes for no reason. No reason. It ends up killing another guy who's on the truck, the Asian guy, and that guy falls over because one of the ice cream cones stabbed him in the back of the head. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's quote is what?
Ice that guy.
Ice that guy.
Cone of phrase.
So
at this point, Danny's like, wait a minute. The hard rock, the ridiculous puns. I'm in the movie. Speaking of hard rock, that song was specifically written for this movie by AC/DC at the request of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Nice.
Jesus.
Fucking awesome, man.
Really?
So after Jack dispatches those dudes, Jack and Danny arrive at the police station.
Hold. Because there is a part to this chase that is insane. When they're driving, there's a truck that gets in the way, a Texaco truck. Arnold Schwarzenegger takes the car up on two wheels and the dynamite that's rolling around in the back slides into his hand. He knocks the fuse out with his fingertips, switches his mini disc to a different track as they get away, as they cruise into the city. So, oh, and then another guy in a minivan comes out with a minigun and they fucking jump off into a sewer. Like, none of this makes any sense. Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh, my God.
This car would be in shambles if it was real.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. So Jack and Danny arrive at the police station. Danny, after just being at a real police station, is amazed at how everything looks. Then we get a ridiculous scene of cops being partnered up. So there's one cop being partnered up with a rabbi, and then another cop.
A rabbi cop.
And then another cop being partnered up with an animated cat cop, Whiskers, who's voiced by Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
And then later on, we see a scene of a cop being partnered up with a hologram of Humphrey Bogart.
Also, when they're walking into the police station, you see the T-1000 from Terminator 2 walk out.
You see Sharon Stone,
yeah, Sharon Stone
as right. Catherine Tremell from Basic Instinct, yep. And Robert Patrick as the T-1000.
Again.
I didn't even see that part.
Yeah, John McTiernan I'm telling you, dude, he got some. He made some phone calls to get people in this movie.
I did see. I saw Sharon Stone. I'm like, is that really her? I'm like, okay, it is.
And immediately following that, you see Robert Patrick. Like,
yep.
What the fuck? Like,
because Danny goes, "Hey, did you see who that was? Like, like we are in a movie. Like, come on." I like how the Los Angeles Police Department has valet. Yeah. Like, this is like, Sharon Stone, she comes out, she's smoking a cigarette, and immediately, he fucking bumps into it.
Fucking crazy, man. Wow.
So many people in this movie. Also, what the fuck kind of police station is this? Every woman on the police force is in skin-tight dresses, most of them made of patent leather.
Not just the police force. Every woman, period.
Yeah, every woman in this fucking movie.
Because
yeah.
Later, Danny's like, hello, every woman here is gorgeous. Like, this woman is working at a Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, she's so hot.
And she's like, oh, it's this California. Like, all of our women are attractive in California.
Nice try.
Yeah, no, they're not.
It's not true.
Yeah. At the time, you were married to one of the unattractive ones.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
She's not bad. Maria Shriver's not bad. She looks like an emaciated bird now, but she does.
God damn it.
Eat a sandwich.
So we meet Jack's friend, John Practice, and Danny warns Jack not to trust Practice because he says that the actor that played John Practice is the guy who killed Mozart in Amadeus. And which is true, like that guy.
Yeah, no, he did.
He's like, most what? Right. Like, that was later on in the movie.
So now we get a scene from Lieutenant Decker as he is yelling for Slater.
Slater! I got the city council chewing my eggs off for that plane you crashed. I got the mayor scheduling parades up my Lincoln Tunnel for that stunt you put on the beach. Now everybody want to know where we are. Do I make myself clear?
I'm just doing my job.
You're giving this department the worst reputation in the country. Now I got the Chamber of Commerce doing cartwheels in my cocoa factory.
Radcliffe, you're pulling duty with the animated cat.
Hiya, Toots. Oh! I'm getting a flea bath later. Join me?
You touch me again, furball, and I'll kill you.
I can prove this is a movie.
Shh. Who the hell are you, kid?
Look out there. This is a cartoon cat.
He's supposed to be back on duty. He was only suspended for a month. Now shut up.
Listen to what I'm saying. An animated cat just walked into the squad room. Hello?
He'll do it again tomorrow, so what's your point?
A cat is one of the best men I got.
Yeah.
Now, who is this twerp, and where is that smile on his face?
I just love the way you two fight, the way how you really feel about each other.
Well, pray tell, just how do I feel about this weird-looking sack of puppy poo?
Your dearest friends, after your wife left you for the circus midget, and Jack told everyone he drove her to New England to the diphtheria clinic. When he came back, you said, you saved me from public humiliation, Jack. You're my dearest friend.
And you promised me you wouldn't tell.
I didn't.
Well, then I didn't know.
Jack Slater won.
What's winning got to do with this?
No, the very first Jack Slater.
You told your dad.
I didn't tell anyone. I don't even know this kid.
Well, he seemed to know a lot about us.
So goddamn dumb.
Because Danny knows a lot, Decker and Jack interrogate him. They realize that he knows things that they just don't know. So Decker assigns Danny as Jack's partner.
You kind of shit. Hey, this kid knows a lot of stuff. So,
and Danny's like, why the fuck would you do that? He even like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense. Why would he assign me as your partner?
How could he even do that? I'm not a cop. It's like, yeah, you're a cop. Get out of here. You're a cop today.
So Danny tries to convince Jack that this is a movie. By going to Blockbuster Video in hopes that he can show Jack that the actor who plays him, Arnold Schwarzenegger, has starred in other movies. So he goes to Blockbuster and he sees a T2 poster. But instead of Arnold Schwarzenegger being on the poster, it's Sylvester Stallone. And he's like, wait, this is all wrong. And And Jack is like, what? It is his best performance. He was wonderful in that movie. And like, God damn it.
Well, and that woman's like, oh my God, were you in a movie? And he's like, yeah, I was in a movie. It was called The Most Beautiful Girl in the World, starring you.
Why do I get the feeling
that... Side note, that chick's pretty hot.
Why do I get the feeling that that was just Arnold Schwarzenegger ad-libbing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I starred in a movie. Yeah.
And then she's like, and Danny's like, I'll prove this is a movie. What's the phone number to the store? 555-1234. And he was like, all right, now, lady, what's your phone number? And she's like, and he's like, it's okay, I'm a cop. Okay, I'll just give you my phone number. 555.
If I knew that it was that easy to get a woman's phone, I would have been a cop years ago.
Look, you could just say you're a cop. Fuck it.
Yeah, you get arrested for that. Is it worth it? Probably not.
I don't think so.
But yeah, so he's like, everybody's got a 555 number. There can only be so many 555
numbers. 9,999 phone numbers.
That's why we have area codes.
Idiot.
Duh. Like, God damn it. So,
every woman in this scene is gorgeous. Good Lord.
So, Jack and Danny drive around because Danny says that he knows where the house is that his favorite second cousin Frank was being tortured.
Yeah, so here you go.
It's kind of like that one, except it's got to be on the other side of the road because it's got an ocean here. Listen, there's something you don't understand. This ticket is magic, and it really works. Any second, we're going to drive right into a theater. Maybe I need to warm it up first.
Of course. My decodering has to warm up too all the time.
Okay, okay. The house looked European. Like maybe get a postcard from Italy or something? Like that one. Just like that one. The bad guys are in there.
You know something? I think you should be wearing this.
I don't think I've earned it yet.
I love how he took
you. Don't understand. You just solved the entire case. You just revolutionized the entire history of police training. I mean, all these years at the academy, studying human character, psyche of the terrorist, fingerprint analysis, all the courses that I've taken in surveillance, hostage negotiation, in criminal psychology. I mean, all I had to do is just drive around the neighborhood and point my finger at the house and say, the bad guys ain't there.
You think you're funny, don't you?
I know I am. I'm the famous comedian, Arnold Braunschweiger.
Schwarzenegger.
Just some tight.
God damn it. Arnold Braunschweiger. So good.
So the two guys knock on the door and Odd Job answers.
May I help you?
Yes. Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
I beg your pardon?
It's a beautiful day, and we're out killing drug dealers. Are there any in the house?
Be ready for anything. Wait, where are you going?
I'll be back. Ha! You did not gonna say that, did you?
That's what you always say.
I do.
Everybody keeps waiting for you to work it in. It's kind of like your calling card.
I understand you're interested in drug dealers.
Yes.
Jack, that's him, the henchman with the glass eye.
Sir, are you a henchman?
No, I only go as far as Lucky. Will there be anything else?
Yeah, take off your sunglasses.
Who's asking?
The Tin Man.
Well, Tin Man, suppose you hit the bricks.
Nah, they're the wrong color.
Are they? Oh, dear. By all means, let's change them. Would arterial red suit you?
Horses or dogs.
Make no mistake, they are exceptionally well trained.
And now the dogs are in a pyramid.
I snap my fingers again, and sometime tomorrow you emerge from several canine recta. Or you and Toto can go back to the land of Oz. Questions?
Yeah. Two of them.
Why am I wasting time when I'm stuck putz like you? I could be doing something much more dangerous, like rearranging my sock drawers.
And two, how exactly are you gonna snap your fingers after a rip off both of your thumbs?
Oh my gosh.
Have a nice day.
He had one with the bullseye when he was with your second cousin. He hates his boss. He calls him a Sicilian schmuck.
So Benedict overhears what Danny just said, and Benedict's like, oh, shit. Like, how does he know that? Jack takes Danny to his daughter's place, where we meet his daughter, Whitney.
Who could get it?
Yeah, she could.
Who is that anyway?
I don't know.
Can't remember. Although he makes a... Oh, her name is Bridget William Wilson Sampras.
She married a Pete Sampras?
I think so.
Oh, that's kind of funny. And yeah, she is, in fact, she is married to Pete Sampras.
Jesus. Danny tells Jack that...
She never had to work again.
Danny tells Jack that this is Whitney's first movie. As it turns out, Last Action Hero is the feature film debut of Bridget Williams Sampras.
Oh, is that right? That's funny. She was also in Higher Learning. She hasn't worked since 2008. She got that Pete Sampras baby. This is game over. She incidentally has two children with him.
So he takes him to see Whitney, and then Jack goes for a drive. And we see a flashback of the end of the movie that Danny was watching originally. Right after the movie had got out of focus, we had left with Jack shooting the Ripper. Well, as it turns out, he did shoot the Ripper. The Ripper fell off the building, but the Ripper grabbed Jack's son, Andy, and he fell with him. And Jack couldn't save Andy.
She was Sonya Blade and Mortal
Kombat. That's shit.
It. That's it.
Holy shit, you're right.
I knew I saw her.
God damn. Yeah. She looks incredibly familiar. Yeah, you're right.
God damn.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Maybe you should just keep having Pete Sampras' babies.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ.
Sonya Blade.
You are making terrible business decisions.
That's unfortunate.
Jack's daughter tells Danny the story of Andy. Danny tells her that he knows. She's like, how do you know? Like, oh, I'll just make up some bullshit. There's a knock at the door. Danny answers, and it is Benedict. Benedict and his goons grab Whitney and interrogate Danny. Danny tricks Benedict into burning some phony cash, thereby signaling Jack that there's danger at his place.
Right. Now, is there... I'm kind of mad that he never played this villain, like, legit. Because this is a pretty good villain for a movie.
Yeah.
Like, for an action movie. Like, the glass eye kind of thing is a very James Bond-esque villain trait. But it's kind of cool. Like, because, you know, he has, like, the have a nice day one or whatever. But he also has, like, the bullseye or the snake eye and stuff. That looks fucking cool, man. That was pretty neat.
Yeah. Like, I really like this dude as a villain. I haven't seen him in too many.
Yeah. Well, he's got he has the Eye of Thundera glass eye in right now, which is kind of funny. I do think it's funny that Danny's like, if you hurt a hair on her head, and he's like, pause, wait a second, plucks one hair out of her head, breaks in half, and he's like, you were saying, like, well, all right.
I mean, that's some pretty badass shit, man.
Yeah, you're like, and what were you going to do? You're going to do shit.
So Whitney frees herself. She fucking kicks this dude's ass.
Oh.
Which is probably why she was cast in Mortal Kombat and then never heard from again.
Pretty much.
And she frees herself, and Jack comes in through the roof.
Like a boss.
A la Batman breaking through some plate glass windows using a goddamn fear takedown. A shootout takes place, and Benedict flees. Jack then gives chase. Danny, upset that he's in the movie and missing all the best action, finds a bike and tries to catch up to the action. Then he decides that he wants to play chicken with one of the villain's cars, thinking that since he's a good guy, he'll automatically win the game of chicken. Then Danny realizes that he's just a comedy sidekick, and comedy sidekicks are expendable in action movies.
That's right.
And he won't win. He eventually gets away.
No, hold on. When he realizes it, he just turns off the road. Somehow he ends up like 30 feet into the air on a roof, fucking E.T. style. Like,
and that CG was terrible.
Oh, it was horrible. When
he bounces off the fucking roof. Like, oh, that looks like claymation.
Yeah. Yeah, somehow he ends up like E.T. That shit is fucking hilarious.
So eventually he meets up with Jack. Benedict, back home, goes through Danny's wallet. He had taken his wallet during the interrogation, and he notices Danny's ticket glowing. And then he puts his hand through a wall, and all of a sudden he realizes that this ticket is magical, and it can transfer. He can go to different dimensions or some such nonsense. That ticket decides to work when it wants to work, doesn't it? Like that
yeah.
ticket is.
Yeah. Ticket is very temperamental.
Yeah, exactly.
So back at the house where the shootout took place, the cops have set up a crime scene. And one of the cops finds Benedict's glass eye. And he doesn't know what it is. So he reads some words on it and he turns it around to complete the sentence that it said. And all of a sudden, it turns out that glass eye was a bomb. And the glass eye blows up.
Like, it explodes like a fucking nuclear explosion.
Yeah.
It explodes like the last scene in Last Boy Scout where they blow up the house, like, from a distance.
And there are a lot of people in this house. Like, everyone's in the house. Like, no one is, like, running away from it.
Nope.
Everyone is in the house. And the next scene...
Next,
just sitting there like Acme cartoons.
Next scene, Danny and Jack are in Lieutenant Decker's office, sitting there with charred faces and hair blown straight out, and soot here and there. Lieutenant Decker screams at screams at the two. This is where a lot of the incoherent stuff comes, and they're like.
It was just like yabba dabba.
Like he's fucking Scatman Crothers.
There's literally steam coming out of his ears at one point.
And they're like, did you catch that? And like, maybe a little. He's like, well, catch this. You're fired. Give me your badge. And this time you're not getting it back. So Jack and Danny go home. And it's here where Jack gets a little personal with Danny.
I just got fired. What you find so entertaining happens to be my life. Now I'm not even a cop anymore.
Go get your badge back. He was just pulling rank because you're destroying more of the city than usual. Jack, you're not just my hero, you're everybody's hero. And it'll all be okay again. Trust me.
No, Danny. It's getting harder. I never started out to be anything but a decent cop. But I kept getting involved in these crazy adventures. But the craziest part is, I kept surviving.
Jack, these are the sequels. They gotta get harder. But look on the good side. I mean, you've got a great daughter. And your ex-wife wouldn't keep calling if somewhere deep down she didn't want you back.
Danny, do you think I would marry someone so stupid that doesn't know the real voice from a taped one? I pay a cashier at the drugstore to call me every so often at the station so the guys think I have a private life. My ex-wife, she's happily remarried. She never calls. And Whitney. Why can't she not be like every other teenager? On prom night, she stays home and field strips an AK-47. She's gonna die a young maid. I know it. I'm gonna buy it soon, too.
way. You can't die till the grosses go down.
Look, if I was Jack, I'd have thrown this kid out of a fucking window. Like, stop saying my life is a goddamn movie, you prick. I just got fired.
My life sucks.
My life stinks. I live in an apartment overlooking a freeway with no furniture and an assassin in my closet every time I come home.
His life is, like, it's so funny because they make him so sad and pathetic in this moment, but he's like, you know, like every other action hero, the second he steps out of that apartment, he's the coolest guy ever. Everybody yeah. wants to be him. Like, it's, again, this movie is incredibly meta. It's just so much fun.
I mean, dare I say this movie is smart. Like,
it is pretty smart.
It is, man.
It takes a level of good writing to be able to, you know, not only write an action movie, but simultaneously make fun of an action movie and all action movies and give a level of depth that your character, like, really understands but doesn't understand at the same time.
Yeah. Like, it's just, this movie's great, man.
Shane Black is a good fucking writer.
Yeah. I just, God damn it, man. God damn it. There need to be, like, four of these movies. One for every Jack Slater movie.
I wouldn't mind this being remade with, like, I could see The Rock doing this as a big action star and then having some kid, you know, go into fucking Fast and the Furious or one of those fucking ridiculous ass movies and be like, you can't, that's not how physics works. Tyrese, you can't jump onto a moving car at like 90 miles an hour. Like, that doesn't work. You would die.
So, anyway, Jack and Danny go for a drive. Jack and Danny talk about what they think Vivaldi's plan is going to be. To sabotage a funeral of the mob syndicate that was supposed to partner with Vivaldi so that Vivaldi's organization can be the only organization around.
Italians.
So they decide to go to the funeral where all this is going down. At the funeral, Vivaldi and Benedict are there. Vivaldi pays his respects and then rolls out and tells Benedict to initiate the plan to release the nerve gas. So this funeral is for a guy named Leo DeFart. And
again, lovely.
And Leo DeFart is firing going to pass gas one last time. The bomb is actually in Leo DeFart's body. And it's a nerve gas bomb. So,
of course it is.
Benedict initiates the nerve gas at the funeral. Jack and Danny arrive at the funeral, and Jack meets his buddy Practice there. And Jack confronts Practice. He quickly figures out that, you know, Practice is on the take. Practice reveals himself to be a traitor and has Jack at gunpoint. Danny comes in and gets the drop on Practice. And again, meta. Danny's going on about this speech about how you did the classic movie villain thing. You talked for too long. If you just shot him, you would have gotten away with it. And while Danny is doing this exposition, Vivaldi gets the drop on Danny,
right?
Because he was saying too much. Like, this movie is fucking genius, man. I fucking love this movie, man. I really do. I really like this movie. Vivaldi gets the drop on Danny, and then the two are back where they started. So Vivaldi is like, all right, you know, they've got those two guys chained up. Vivaldi is like, peace, I'm out of here. Practice is about to kill Danny and Jack. He was like, all right, well, since I talk too much, no more talking, which in essence is him talking.
Right.
And Whiskers, out of nowhere, Whiskers, like an RKO, out of nowhere, comes in and shoots Practice in the back, thereby saving Jack and Danny. Now, I can't...
Like, here's the best part about this shot. He shot him, but it was the cartoon bullet sound when he killed him. I was like, wait, did the sound fuck up? And then, because I forgot that he shot him in the back. Well, I forgot this part. And it was the cartoon sound of a gun. And I'm like,
again,
it makes sense.
They fucking nailed it, man. That shit is fucking it's a great movie.
Danny and Jack arrive at the rooftop where the funeral is being held. Oh, whoops. I lost my place there. Jack gets to the roof where the funeral is taking place while Danny operates a crane for Jack.
Yeah, that's a reasonable thing to give a duty to a small child. Hey, why don't you drive this crane that I'm going to ride in on?
Well, to be fair, Danny asked the crane operator to operate it for him, but he was wielding a goddamn 50 caliber pistol. And like, nope. that crane operator was like, fuck this, I'm out. So Jack ends up grabbing the body bomb, and Jack drops the body bomb on the hook of the crane and tries to flee the roof. Now, here, everyone is, you know, in mourning and all this, and everyone's dressed, you know, and they got nuns there, and everyone's all sad. But as soon as Jack grabs the Leo DeFart's body, a comically all of these people just pull out guns, like pistols, handguns, automatic weapons, Uzis, sniper rifles. Like, even the nuns are packing heat.
Yep.
And they all fire on Jack, and all of them miss. Jack is running in a straight line. He's not juking, he's not zigzagging, like he's just running, and all of them miss. They literally hit everything else but Jack. So during the shootout, Jack falls but is saved by Danny with the crane. Jack but the bomb is still on the crane, so Jack tells Danny to move the
that fucking scene, dude. It was some A-team level terrible shooting.
Jesus Christ. Jack tells, Jack is on the crane with the body bomb, and Jack tells Danny to move the crane over there, and you move it, and all of a sudden, Jack is able to get the bomb off of the crane hook, but in doing so, he himself falls as well. Yes. Now, they fall into the La Brea tar pits.
Oh, but of course they do.
They fall into the La Brea tar pits. Jack gets out of the La Brea tar pits, wipes that shit off like it's you know, soot, and Leo DeFart's bomb goes off, but the tar from the tar pits prevents the nerve gas from getting out. And even Danny's like, come on, man, like, tar usually sticks to people. Like,
nope.
like what the hell is going on? All of a sudden, Whitney comes blasting in with her monster truck with flames emblazoned on the front of it and saves them. Now, we cut to a scene with Benedict with his magic ticket in hand as he goes to report to Vivaldi about what happened at the funeral.
This is one of my favorite scenes. He's so mad.
Wait a minute. I can't hear you. I don't want to miss a thing. Come here. Come here. Hey, Benny, get your stuff.
Yes.
Was it beautiful?
Perfect in everything.
Ah, and the gas tanks, poof, were they okay?
Like clockwork. You should have been there.
Men, women, and children dropping left and right, writhing and screaming.
Wait a minute.
I want to enjoy it all. Come on, tell me.
They were writhing and screaming and leaping to their doom to escape the pain. No, not really, I'm lying. It was a complete and utter balls up, and I've had a terrible day, thanks largely to you.
What is this, Benedict? First you're my friend, now you turn a 360 on me.
180, you stupid spaghetti-slurping cretin. 180. If I did a 360, I'd go completely around and end up back where I started.
What?
Trust me. If that little turd, Daniel Madigan, can move through parallel worlds, I can move through parallel worlds. In and out. In, steal whatever I want. And out again. Impossible to catch.
If God was a villain, he'd be me.
That's some gangster ass shit.
That's my favorite line.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Might be the best line I've ever heard in a movie ever.
And he delivers the shit out of that line too.
And he was talking to the audience at that point in time, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. he was breaking
the
fourth wall.
Frank Underwood shit right there.
Yeah. What are you looking at? So good. I love that. Yeah, he's a really good villain, man. It's really good. You spaghetti slurping Crichton. He doesn't even say Crichton.
All right.
Crichton.
Yeah.
So
360.
Like, 360.
I don't want to be a fourth wheel. It's a fifth wheel, you fucking idiot. Like,
this guy is the worst with fucking turn of phrase.
So after... Benedict says the most badass line that has ever been said in a movie, Jack and Danny bust in like the Kool-Aid man riding Whitney's monster truck.
On the second floor. Straight out of the second floor, fall down to the first.
How does that work?
Like, how did they get there? Like, it doesn't even make sense. They take a ramp, jump up into the second floor and down?
So Jack throws Benedict into Oddjob. His name's not Oddjob. He was a professional wrestler named Professor Tanaka, but I'm going to call him Oddjob.
He's fucking Oddjob.
Because he looks like Oddjob. Jack throws Benedict into Oddjob, and they both are thrown into the wall, but because Benedict had the magic ticket in hand, they fall through the wall and into the movie theater. Danny realizes that Benedict has his ticket, and Jack and Danny go through the portal and they make it through, and they realize that, you know, they see Benedict and Oddjob fleeing the theater. Now, they're in real world 1983-93 New York.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jack sees Benedict and Oddjob steal a cab. So Jack pulls out his gun and says, "Here's another explosion for your movie." And he shoots the taxi cab, expecting a gigantic explosion, but nothing happens. And then he's like, he looks at his gun like, what's wrong? Like, I think the taxis here are bulletproof.
That's always been one of my favorite memes in action movies, is that you can just shoot the gas tank of a moving car and it just explodes. Not how that works
As if the bullet has a flame on the tip of it and the car is being powered by nitroglycerin.
Exactly. There's one point in the movie where something explodes. Like, there's nothing even flammable that happens. It's just two things collide. I think it's like Danny's bike and something, and it just explodes for no reason.
I think it was during the chase scene in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, maybe it was.
There was something that just blew the fuck up for nothing.
For no reason.
It was like a car went into an ice cream truck, and then it just blew up.
Yeah, that was it. It's like, why? Why would that happen? Why?
So they give chase, and Jack gets a car, and he plays chicken with the cab. Danny's like, this isn't going to work in the real world. Like, nothing's like...
You're going to get fucked up.
The car's not going to all of a sudden have a ramp in front of it, and then you just, you know, the cab's just going to fly above it. Like, you are going to get hurt. Jack plays chicken anyway, and we see the two cars as they play chicken, and they run into each other.
Like, at full speed, dude.
And it was the most underwhelming, like, crash that you'd ever expect in an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. Like, it's just boom. And then that's it. And Jack tried to play it off, and he's like, "Well, I knew what I was doing. You see, it was a cab, and the cabs don't have seat belts for some strange reason in 1983 New York."
Giuliani hadn't found them yet.
So Oddjob is dead, but it turns out Benedict used the magic ticket to teleport out of the cab. Jack turns around and sees a billboard of a Jack Slater movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger and is freaked out. Danny takes Jack to see Nick. Danny tells Nick that, and selfish ass Nick is like, "Oh shit, it really did work. Give me that ticket back."
Right. I could have been living the dream. Nick, you old drunk, get the fuck out of here. Yeah, bigger fish to fry, man.
I could have been raping kids for movies all over the place.
They would have never found me. Never. What a dream.
Danny tells
my lucky day.
Danny tells Nick that Benedict has the ticket, and Nick is sad that he won't get to rape.
Wow, kids. We're gonna keep going.
He looks like a rapist, guys. I'm sorry, he really does. And unless someone tells me otherwise, I'm going to assume he is.
Wow. Moving right along,
taking the grand old party stance and arguing.
Yeah, exactly. I need proof.
I have my beliefs, and unless someone tells me different, I'm not even going to entertain the thought of me changing my mind.
Right. And if you tell me something different, you're the liar.
That's how it works.
Can't prove a negative.
Danny takes Jack back to his place, and where they meet his mom, and Jack covers for Danny, you know, while he's getting yelled at. So we cut to Benedict walking around.
Whoa. Are you skipping over the part where they wake up the next day, or is that that's after Benedict? Okay.
I think it's after Benedict. Yeah, but you're right. You might have to do it anyway because I don't think I did it. So we cut to Benedict in his white on white on white, walking around
all white everything,
walking around 1983-93 New York, and he's looking at how shitty this place is. Like, it's god awful, and he's running around, and he hears a gunshot, and he runs to where the gunshot is, and he sees that this poor dude was killed for his shoes. And he's like, wait, you killed that guy to take his shoes? So he's like, walks.
Not even a classy villain.
Right. And these are like shitty looking shoes. So he goes to auto body shop. He's like, hey, I want to test a theory. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. What do you want? You know, I can help you. So Benedict pulls
I'm Mario. This is my brother Luigi. Work on cars.
I mean, look, it might as well have been.
No. I'm not saying your accent was wrong. It was dead on. Like, they're ridiculous. Like, he's just a ridiculous Italian stereotype.
I'm saying the movie would have even been better if Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo were the guys.
Oh, shit. That would have been pretty good.
So Benedict goes up and says, hey, I want you to test a theory for me. He was like, sure. Yeah, well, here we go. Pow. And then he shoots the guy dead. Now, Benedict shoots the guy dead with a gigantic gun, right? So yes. It makes a loud sound. And he looks at his watch, and he's looking around like, where the cops at? So he goes out in the middle of the street, shoots the guy three more times, and says, hey, everybody, I just killed this guy for no fucking reason, and I want to confess about it. And good old-fashioned 1983-93 New York, someone off-screen is heard saying, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. That's it.
And he's like, oh shit, like, this is fucking awesome. So we cut back to Danny and Jack. It turns out that Jack has been talking to Danny's mom all night.
Mm-hmm. Talking.
Yeah. Right. Talking. Fuck out of here.
Yeah, not buying it.
Right. His Danny's dad has been dead a long time.
Yeah, exactly. And Arnold Braunschweiger is here. Right. Show up. Make up for lost time.
She's like, it's amazing how much you look like him.
Yeah, I know.
I've never just talked to a woman before. Yeah, you didn't dare either.
Yeah, who cares?
Fuck out of here.
Danny, I'm your new dad.
Later, Jack and Danny go for a drive trying to determine Benedict's next move.
They go to the fucking,
Empire State Building?
Empire State Building. He's just like looking around like, you know you're not going to spot him from here, right? Like,
so what they determine is what is actually happening. Benedict is going to theaters and pulling villains from major motion pictures.
That's exactly what I would do if I were him.
Yeah, absolutely.
But this is like Demolition Man. Like, oh shit, they got Jeffrey Dahmer here? Unfreeze that motherfucker. That's a genius move.
So the first stop is Jack Slater 3, where he pulls out the Ripper, and he pulls the Ripper into the real world. So we cut to Jack and Danny going from theater to theater looking for Benedict. Danny finds him, and Jack gives chase. Jack and Danny figure out that Benedict is going to kill Arnold Schwarzenegger at the world premiere of Jack Slater 4. Reason being, if there's no Schwarzenegger, there's no Slater.
Right.
But
it's classic Back to the Future way of handling things.
But if there's no Schwarzenegger, then there's no Jack Slater movie. Therefore, there's no villain. Jack Slater villains.
Right.
So I don't understand that. But you know what? It doesn't fucking matter because this movie is still great.
Yeah.
But they didn't kill the actors or the villains. They just killed Jack Slater, right?
Yeah, but yeah, if but there's no Jack Slater, if there's no hero, there's no villains to fight. Mm. But who the fuck cares? It's a movie about a magic ticket.
This is right up there with is a hot dog a sandwich?
Exactly.
The conundrum.
So, where are we? The Ripper arrives on the red carpet premiere to kill Arnold Schwarzenegger. And this scene is where we get, like, the rest of the cameos, right? Like
Arnold Schwarzenegger trying to plug fucking Planet Hollywood, the restaurant. Hilarious.
Little Richard is there.
Little Richard is there.
Woo!
Which, Jim, is it Jim Belushi?
Rob Van Dam.
Yeah,
Jim Belushi. Was it Jim?
Not Rob Van Dam. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Mr. Monday Night.
That's a wrestler, right? Yeah. Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Jim Belushi's like, I don't even like Arnold, but my wife likes him, and I just want to be here when she owes.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Ripper arrives on the red carpet to kill Arnold Schwarzenegger. Jack goes to the premiere and finds out that Arnold Schwarzenegger is sitting on one of two balconies. So Jack,
MC Hammer was also there.
Yeah, he was like, hey, what's up, man? Jack, you know, we down for the soundtrack? Like, oh, you really thought that you were going to be somebody.
He is somebody.
He's a broke nigga. That's what he is.
still a person. Still a person. Someone's got, look.
I mean, given the technical definition of a noun, then yes, he is something.
I don't see him singing for dollars to get people to buy his album on a New York subway.
Oh, damn.
Get that Black Rose album, y'all.
Wait, who are you talking about?
Tyrese.
He's independent, y'all.
Please tell me you saw that video.
I have not seen it.
Oh, shit. Well, you will after this episode.
We got a video to show you when the movie's over.
It's hilarious.
He doesn't need that money. He got fucking Fast 7 money, right?
Maybe not. Maybe not.
So, Jack goes to check for Arnold Schwarzenegger in one of the two balconies. He tells Danny to stay put, but Danny decides he wants to check the other upper balcony. In the theater, Danny warns Jack that the Ripper is back, and Jack sees the Ripper up at the upper balcony, the balcony right. That he's not at. Jack gets up, pulls out his hand cannon, everybody down, and then he points his gun at the Ripper. But then Arnold Schwarzenegger tackles Jack.
Shit is so fucking meta, dude. I love it.
And the Ripper is able to get away. And Arnold, big dumb Arnold, like real world Arnold, is like, wow, you're amazing. You look just like me. We can, you know, call my agent and we can meet. And then Jack is like, I don't want to do anything with you. You've brought me nothing but pain. He's like, oh damn.
Like, I love the moment where he's like, oh, I wish the studios would tell me when they're doing a stunt and all this other stuff. It's like, get off me, you idiot. Like, I don't like you very much. It's like, damn.
Oh, shit. So, Jack makes his way to the roof. I forget how, but he eventually...
He walks out of the theater, and then the next scene is literally a hard cut to him opening the door up on the rooftop.
So, he's on the roof, and the Ripper has kidnapped Danny, and we get a scene that parallels the ending of Jack Slater 3. But this time, the Ripper's like, yeah, we've done this before. Yeah, let's just skip to the end. And he picks up Danny and just throws him off a roof.
See, that's when bad guys get smarter.
Yeah, man, they have to be in meta movies.
Yep.
Jack kills the Ripper by electrocuting him in some ridiculous fashion.
Yeah,
the fuse box.
And then Jack rescues Danny, who's dangling from a well-placed gargoyle. A gargoyle so convenient that only Batman in the Arkham series would be able to justify its being there.
That's right.
So he saves them. Jack, Grant, he tells Danny to jump, and I will catch you. You have to trust me. I will catch you. So Jack grabs Danny. I don't know how he doesn't dislocate his shoulder, because this is the real fucking world. He grabs Danny, swings Danny up, and Danny makes it to the top of the roof.
As a person who recently had shoulder surgery, it makes my shoulder scream looking at that scene. I'm like, that is not how your arm is supposed to move.
You would
he
be
said
fucked.
He did dislocate his shoulder.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right.
He goes after he gets like, I think my arm is out of the socket once he fucking pulls himself up.
Okay, I couldn't remember. So the two are saved and they're on the rooftop, but Benedict surprises them both and just delivers one of the best monologues I've ever heard.
Okay, here you go.
Get down, Danny. Give it up, Benedict. The whole army is swarming with cops. Oh, I think I can manage to avoid them. But if not, I have another little explosive surprise for them. Gentlemen, since you're about to die anyway, I may as well tell you the entire plot. Think of villains, Jack. You want Dracula? Dracula? Hang on. I'll fetch him. Dracula? I can get King Kong. We'll have a nightmare with Freddy Krueger. Have a surprise party for Adolf Hitler. Hannibal Lecter can do the catering. And then we'll all have a christening for Rosemary's baby. All I have to do is snap my fingers and they'll be here. They're lining up to get here. And do you know why, Jack? Shall I tell you why? Because here, in this world, the bad guys can win. I shall miss you, Jack.
Gee, did you make a movie mistake? You forgot to reload the damn gun.
No, Jack. I just left one chamber empty.
There you go. That's a pretty smart villain move.
That's some pretty gangsta ass shit. That's some pretty gangsta ass shit, man. God damn it. This world, the bad guys can win. I mean, could you imagine just for one second? Like, think of any movie, right? The villain in that movie, if they were in the real world.
Oh, yeah. Like, heroes would all die. Yeah, like, that's the whole premise of, like, that comic Nemesis. It's like, imagine if Batman was a bad guy. Like, all of his intelligence, all of his resources, but he was a piece of shit person. Like, yeah, he would be unstoppable. Yeah, no, of course.
And here's the thing, like, it's very easy for a person in our real world to be a fucking uber villain, just to be a fucking asshole. But people aren't heroes, man. Like, they just aren't.
No. So, I know heroes.
Right now.
Better get the fuck out of the way. Duck. Here's some hero advice. Get the fuck out of my way. I live by the standard idea that if I'm being chased, I only need to be faster than the person I'm with. I don't need to be the fastest person in the world. That's it. Step your cardio game up.
So Benedict shoots Jack in the chest. And then backhands Danny. Benedict goes to finish off Jack, but Danny, who was playing possum from the backhand, ends up hitting Benedict with a fucking cross body blow.
Was it a drop? I didn't know. I thought he drop kicked him first.
I thought he bounced off the ropes and just flung his body at him.
Like, I don't know what just happened here.
Danny throws a gun to Jack, and Jack uses it to shoot Benedict in his explosive eyeball. It's a pretty good death for a pretty good villain, man.
Yeah, not bad.
The Benedict's half of the ticket falls to the ground, and for some strange reason, it activates the movie. It hits
Seventh Seal.
Yeah, it hits the sidewalk, but activates the movie that's inside the theater. Like, I thought the ticket had to be in some sort of close proximity to a movie screen, but apparently not. So Ian McKellen, another great cameo as Death, comes through the portal, and Danny gets Jack. Danny ends up getting Jack to the movie theater because he believes that he's got to get Jack back into the movies, mm-hmm. where this is just a threshold, where this is just a flesh wound.
So they're in the ambulance. And there's a cameo in the ambulance.
It's
and
fucking Melvin Van Peebles.
Yes,
in there.
Yes, it is. That's exactly what, that's why I just paused it.
Right, I'm like, why is he in this movie?
because why not? I have no idea. Again, I feel like they just put out a fucking APB in Hollywood. And they were like, you want to be in it? Everybody can be in this movie.
Like, hey, I got this great idea for this movie. Everybody saw the script and was like, you know what? This is a pretty goddamn funny movie, and they wanted to be a part of it. So the fact that this movie didn't do better, I just, it boggles my mind. Anyway, they show up at the theater. Death shows up and Danny's like, you can't have him. You can't have him. You can't take him. And Death is like, chill out. All right. I was just curious. I'd never seen Jack Slater before. I just wanted to see if this was the real Jack Slater. I'm not here for him.
And, I don't do fiction.
Right. I don't do fiction. He's not on any of my lists. You are, though, nigga. But you die, grandfather.
So. I like how Death is... This is how ridiculous this movie is. I like how Death is actually Death in the movie. Like, in The Seventh Seal, that is actually Death, and not the actor playing the role. Like, he is actually Death and can come and take people. That's amazing.
I just noticed he touched that cop that was smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
He just kind of tapped him.
Oh, really?
And he fucking died.
And he dies?
Yeah.
He starts coughing. And
he starts coughing, goes into like cardiac arrest or some shit.
Oh, that's Oh, when he's walking outside?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He's well, you were going to die anyway, buddy, so here you go.
I'll see you in a week. Here's cancer.
Death also tells Danny that he's a fucking idiot and she should probably be looking for the other half of the magic ticket. And
yeah, Death's kind of a dick.
And Danny's like, oh shit, I should have been looking for the other half of that ticket. So he goes in to the ticket box and he's like, shit, they're all gold. But he magically finds the magic ticket. He's able to get Jack back into the movie. They say their very tearful goodbyes. Jack is back to normal, punching glass and with the knowledge that his life is now a movie, and he's trying to fuck up everybody else's life in the movie by telling them, you're not real. This is all a movie. You see, Hollywood is writing us and all this bullshit.
Why are you yelling?
Why are you yelling? I can hear you. I'm not deaf. I'm not deaf.
Even though I talk like someone who's never heard a word of English.
And that was the end of the movie, man. And this is a great movie. And if you don't like it, fuck you. Straight up, man.
And there you go.
Yeah, seriously, man. Like,
no, it
like
it really is. It took, I think, a serious amount of effort and some damn good writing to pull it off.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. I don't think this movie probably gets... I think fans like it just fine, but I don't think critics... they might not even have gotten it, or they don't think it's fair to make fun of movies in that way or the audience in that way.
I don't understand it.
I mean, Hollywood.
I really don't get it. I've always loved this movie, and like you said,
I always enjoyed it.
Watching it now is like you catch all of the shit that you probably didn't catch when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Like smart.
Like Hollywood is so far up its own ass. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That's why they can never find a good Oscars host, because they can't take being made fun of. These professional liars can't take yeah, exactly. being made fun of. Like, come on, man. Like this movie is great. And if you
you're
like
not
it,
really a hero, you're just some right. asshole in a movie.
Right, and obviously a lot of people thought this was pretty cool because look at all the fucking cameos in the movie.
Yeah,
right. I just
like
don't...
people that just didn't need to be in it. Really.
Sharon Stone did not need to be in this movie.
Right.
At all.
Literally Robert Patrick just didn't
camera.
Need to be in it.
Yeah.
There was no reason for him to be in it.
He didn't even, he had
he
no
was
lines.
He was in there for a second.
Yeah.
Like quite literally 1.5 seconds.
Yeah, and he was just like, bump, and just kept moving.
So, I don't know, man.
He drop-kicked that ticket box.
Like,
you're watching a lot of fucking WWF, huh?
This is a great movie. It's a great spoof. Like, I'm looking at Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, like a 43% or something?
I didn't even look at Rotten.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this, and one guy, Emmanuel Levy, is like joyless, tasteless, soulless. Like, shut the fuck up. It can't decide if it wants to be an actioner or a comedy or a spoof.
It's both. It's all three.
Yes, it's all three, you dullard.
Yeah, I love that. It can't decide. It doesn't have to decide. It already decided.
It did decide. It wants all of it.
Yeah.
God damn it. I just, fuck you.
Wow. People are pretty dumb, man.
People are stupid. People are morons.
Yeah. I think this is a wonderful movie.
This is a great movie.
All right. That is it for No Time to Bleed. Sorry we haven't been doing them nearly as often, but that is that's going to be corrected as of right now. So look for these, you know, once a month. And if we, you know, if we really get bored, we'll do two a month. But we're not, and we're really busy. So look for these once a month. So again, thank you for signing up for premium content, $5 a month. Or $50 for the year, so thank you. We'll try to do maybe a clip or two out of this to send out to the public for people so they can understand what the show is all about.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for listening, and we will see you guys next time.
See you
in the network.
Take it easy.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.